Awesome, you guys. Wow, let's be seated. Are you guys blessed or what? Guys, I wander around the back of the building and just hearing the worship, pulling in, pulling out. It's just so amazing to see God's people lifting him up. Amen. Who would have thought that a Jewish sect thousands of years ago would be going today and his people are still shouting his name, be it in Liverpool, be it in Edmonton, wherever we may be. I'm excited to be with you guys. Well, guys, the Bible says give honor where honor is due. And listen to me. I have a lot of friends around the world, but I cannot boast in this church enough. Amen. I say it so much, and you say, he's just saying that. Guys, I am not. It feels like family. From the Kinder eggs, which are illegal in America now, to the ketchup chips, which a lady gave me a big box of today. Thank you. To just the way you guys appreciate the Word of God. Though I've been sowing into you, I absolutely feel that I've been getting blessed by all of you. So thank you, Pastor, and the team, and everyone. And I just want to start by saying this. Thank you, Jesus. As I got into the room the other day and I began to prep the first message, Pastor Ron, I was just sitting there reading through my notes. I'm wearing my Ruka shorts and my shirt. I was about to go to the pool. And I just felt like the Lord stopped me in my tracks, and I got goosebumps, and my hairs rose up on my legs. It wasn't cold in the room, and I got the chills, and I felt like the Lord was showing me, for you, Pastor, he's saying, you're entering a new season. You're about to enter a new season. And I would love to tell you who gave me this big, profound word, but he didn't. But he stopped me in my tracks where I began to weep, and I got down on the bed, and it was for you, brother. So I don't know what the Lord has for you. I said, God, if this is you, show me again. And the next day he brought to mind, Pastor will know what I'm talking about at the right time. So thank you for serving the Lord. Can we give a round of applause? Amen. Well, guys, let's pray. God, we thank you for this time, for this room, for your people, for the power of the blood and the cross and all that you have done. And right now, God, let my words fall to the floor lest they be of you. I pray where hearts are broken, lives are struggling, people are in here, and this is the last breath that they have. Jesus, move and minister in your name. We have worshiped. You are in our midst, God. Holy Spirit, move by your power and speak to your children. And the church said, amen. If you have your Bibles, go over to Exodus 20. I know that Martin and the team have got to get a flight in just a bit, so I'm going to get everything we can in the right amount of time. Can we say amen? But I do want to say this. I'm originally from Liverpool, England. I do not have an accent. This is how we're all meant to sound if we speak the Queen's English. Amen? I've been living in California. Do not try and sound like this. And guys, do not try and interpret why I'm speaking. This is not tongues. Amen? I was raised in Liverpool, England. I became a professional skateboarder. I moved to America. I made a bunch of money. I went all over the world. I was living on top of the world, living the American dream, gaining the whole world, but what? Losing my soul. I was married at 19, fell madly in love, had a son, and by the age of 22, 23, on top of it all, accomplishing my dreams, I was divorced and depressed. I thought I was roadkill. And we all just evolved. So what is the difference if I take my life anyway? Amen? Within 7 months of challenging God, trying to disprove his word and every other religion, can we just say God is faithful? God is faithful. I was depressed and suicidal. In Genesis 1, 26, 27, says, let us make Brian and you in his image. The presence of God showed up in my home while I was divorced. He saved me that night in a radical way. I was going to God to fix my life, but God was coming to me to deal with my sin. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. I said, I'll lay down my life, give you my skating, I'll get baptized, I'll remarry this woman. Wow, that's some faith, amen. If you've been through some pain and a divorce, I said, Lord, if this is you, whatever you want. Within 3 weeks, she came to faith. Within 6 months, I was remarried. My 18-year-old son is here in the crowd somewhere today with the crazy curly hair. Give it up for Jesus. Amen. My daughter Eden is 11. My son Jude is 9. They wouldn't even be alive if it was not for God. So I say all of that to say, you can't see where you're going to end up. If you're in Christ, we know. But if you're going through struggle, look to him. Put your faith in him. Amen. Someone needed to hear that today. But as we jump into Exodus 20, you say, Pastor, why would we go there? Why are we going into the Old Testament? Often when I travel, pastors will prefer to stay in the New. I know it's the mystery of the gospel. It's the mystery of Jesus revealed. But how many of you guys know that the book of Exodus, the Ten Commandments, is so important? Amen? To Jews, to Christians, to Muslims, it changed the nation. And I want to ask you today, my living in America, the Ten Commandments are under so much attack. So what does it mean for Americans to live this way? What would it mean for those in Canada or England to adopt these principles? And as Christians, are you and I meant to keep religiously all of the Ten Commandments? Is that what Christianity means? Do we white-knuckle it and hide beneath God's wrath, saying, God, we're keeping up to your standard? Or is that why Jesus came? Some of you are going to be legalistic in your own life, and it will be dangerous. But today, as we look at these principles, I want you to see, how can I live more like God has called me to live? For my benefit, amen? We think about the Ten Commandments and it seems so old-fashioned and rigid, and it's not. And to preface this, here's the idea. The book of Exodus simply means exiting. They've been in Egyptian bondage for 400 years, and the power of God is about to show up to a man called Moses, lead him to Pharaoh. And think about this. The whole picture of the Bible is this. Let my people go, that they may worship me. That is the story of the Bible. You were born dead in sin. I'm going to set the captives free. That they may go and worship me. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And Moses goes to Pharaoh and gives him this message. And Pharaoh isn't very happy. I'm going to give up millions of workers who do whatever I want at all times, beating them and whipping them and abusing God's people. And God sends 10 wrath that you remember. Remember the movie with Charlton Heston? What was his name, that old actor back in the day? Moses. Remember Yul Brynner? Watching that movie, I had no clue. I didn't understand what was happening. But God parts the sea, leads Israel out. They find their way to a mountain, and we find that God gives them commandments. The same finger that wrote the same commandments is the same finger that wrote in the dirt for the woman caught in the act of adultery and released her. Amen? God is giving us a guideline here for how to live, but when we arrive, you will see there is grace and mercy in Jesus. I want you to be aware there is two kingdoms being preached here, Pharaoh's kingdom and the darkness and the sin and the occult, and the kingdom of heaven that simply invades when we lift up our hands. Are you ready? Exodus 20 and 2. Ready to be taught something today? Thank you, Jesus. God begins by saying this, which is always good to say, I am the Lord your God. I have brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Sometimes you overlook this thought, but consider it. We have just been in slavery. We have just had a commander. We have just had a bunch of commandments. So wait a minute, God. You are delivering us out of slavery to give us more commandments. Does it sound like a good plan at first? I'd be thinking, Lord, why are you giving me more commandments? Why can't we be free and live however we want? You see, the idea of this passage is that it's very religious. Religion can be a dangerous thing. It can become a cult. There's many religious cults in the world, but the true sense of the word religion, do you know what it means? It means a ceremony. It means a hedge. It means a hedge of protection around something you care about. Amen? Do you have walls around your home to protect you? Do we have signs on the road to protect where we go? Does your bank account have a password, even your Facebook or Instagram? Of course it does. Why? Because these are things of value. And what God is saying is, Israel, I want to build a hedge of protection around you to show you something about humanity and humanity's heart. Can someone cry, amen? This is a church that preaches back to you, especially these guys all the way over here. Amen? I wasn't a Christian for 24 years, so I'm trying to catch up with all you guys by getting plenty of amens in. Amen? The idea is, though, there's two kingdoms, and God has now given them these commands. So the idea is, this hedge of protection is a good thing. It's a way to lead us somewhere, and if we pay attention, we're going to see what God is unpacking. In verse 3, he says, you shall have no other gods before me. You read that today on a Sunday morning in 2018, and you say, brother, we don't even think about gods today. We don't even think there's gods out there in the world today. I mean, what kind of gods are we talking about? Is this the old Hollywood movies or superstition or mysticism? You see, the more we say the word science, we get away from the idea of other gods. fallen angels, the demonic. Have you ever read Genesis 6? The sons of God came down, impregnated women, and all the lying cults and different religions out there in the world come from these fallen creatures. What kind of gods did they worship? Gods of wealth, gods of status, gods of perversion, gods of self. And they would sacrifice to these gods, doing all kinds of things to receive rewards and favor from the gods. In fact, Pharaoh himself would have said, "I am a god controlling you." And this might have seemed good at the start, but as time went on, what did they begin to do? They sacrificed more and more and more to these gods. Soon they were sacrificing in sexual ways that was vile and vulgar. Soon they went as far as to sacrifice their own children, taking their newborns and laying them on hot pieces of metal that can be burned up to the gods. You say, "Brian, this is so in the distant past." Is it? In America, where I live, do we serve the gods of wealth? Do we serve the gods of pleasure? We don't call them gods anymore. Do we serve the gods of self? What is this called? iPhone. It's all about me. YouTube, Facebook, that old website everyone over 40 said, MySpace. It's all about me. Amen? We live in a culture, we say, "I don't worship these gods," but I think we do. Billions of dollars a year spent on the adult films, pulling us away from our families, things that are pushing us to have affairs and lust and let it go of our children. I'm so focused on the idea that money never sleeps and I've got to build my portfolio and I've got to be bigger and better than everyone that I haven't got time to parent my children. Someone stopped me at one time, not saying it to me, but saying there's many things you can be to many people, but only you can be the parent of your children. Am I willing to sit and trust in God and the work God has called me to do in my life? Or am I given over to the American gods that are led by the American gods in the form of the flesh? I don't want to hate on people, but the idea that Oprah Winfrey has never been married or had kids, but tells all of America how to be married and have kids seems a bit strange to me. Amen? The world famous leaders and actors going around the world telling you what you should be doing, and whoever you voted for, it does not matter. Romans 13, amen. Pray for your leaders. But now you have Kanye West and Taylor Swift and Leonardo DiCaprio and all kinds of people getting control. All these songs have political agendas. Are you sure they're not worshiping some other kind of God? This is who is leading our nation. So I say, "God, what am I bowing down to? Am I bowing down to your word or not?" And he goes on, and he says in verse 4, "You shall not make for yourself any image, anything in the heaven above, in the earth below, nor in the waters. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a what? Jealous God." Is he saying don't draw a flower with your daughter after church? Is he saying don't wear a pair of Pumas with the image of an animal on? No. God told Moses to make engravings in the shape of a snake. The cherubim were carved into the side of the tabernacle. What he's saying is, remember the two kingdoms now. In Pharaoh's kingdom, they are bowing down to these gods. Pharaoh's headdress, what was it? A snake. Did you see the music award ceremony 3 days ago in America? A 50-foot snake is on the stage, and Taylor Swift is singing about being a witch. It sounds funny. But the same way Martin and the team, Pastor Mark and the team lead you in worship, the occult world that you don't even believe is real is worshiping in a whole other way. They're bowing down to these gods, and we don't remember their names, but we know them. Amun-Ra, Isis, the sun god, over and over, Thoth, and all these different people. And you say, "Brian, why are you going there?" Because of this reason, where the rubber meets the road. Raised in Liverpool, England, we are open to everything, much like where Martin and the band are from, Brighton. So I'm raised saying you're Buddhist and you're Hindu and you're Muslim and you're all these religions. I'm going to respect all of them. In fact, you know what? I love that sticker, coexist, amen? Why can't we all just get along? Well, for this reason, because Jesus alone said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus alone walked the shores of Galilee and fed the 5,000. And when I was dead and suicidal in sin, he's the one who went to the cross for the joy set before him. Amen? I'm not there to disrespect, but it's to God alone that I will answer. Satan is the father of lies, so this is all that the truth that there is. Everything else needs to fall down and bow to the name of who? Jesus. We talked about this the other day, but as Moses said, "Who are you?" I just love preaching this. Moses in the burning bush says, who shall I say has sent me? Who are you, God? I want to know your identity. And what does he say? Listen to this. You want to know who I am? Do you want to know who I am, shepherd? I am. You're not. You've been made in my image. Pharaoh is made in my image. Everyone in this room is made in his image. But if you want to know who I am, before I tell you my name, I am all there is. I am the eternal, you not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Do you see this? And we said it the other day. They showed up to Jesus, coming to take him, to crucify him. And he says, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. What did he say? I am. And you know what the Bible says? They fell over. They fell over. There's a table of skateboards and shirts out there. I said, anyone that wants to, go out and film yourself going into Starbucks or on the street, walking up to anyone, the biggest guy you can find, the biggest bodybuilder, stand in front of him and just say, I am, and he will not fall over. Jesus said, I am, and they all fell over. Why? Because before Abraham, I am. I and the Father are one. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the gate. God says, bow down to no one else. Is this stirring up your faith or not? Are you sure you're in the right place today? Do you know who we're serving? His name is Jesus. Amen. We're not just going to sing about him. We're going to walk and talk about him. We're to go into all the world and make disciples. The famous story of a child who said, Dad, check out my drawing. He said, sweetie, who are you drawing? And she said, I'm drawing God. He said, well, no one knows what God looks like. And she said, well, they will now. What a sweet idea, amen? But the reality is culture is still trying to make God in our image rather than our worship in him, because we're the ones made in his image, amen? When Billy Graham passed away, many a reporter interviewed him, and they were trying to push and say, God is so accepting, God is so forgiving, God accepts everyone, right? Billy preached this message, and it was Kathy Lee Gifford who said, God is absolutely accepting, but the issue is sin. The issue is the blood. God is so accepting of you and me that he went to the cross and he shed it all. And there's a yes and amen for all your chaos today. That is why we're singing about him. Amen. He says, I, the Lord, I'm your God, and my name is jealous. And some of you say, well, I don't want to follow a jealous God. If I'm jealous, it's sin because I'm not God. But the Bible says, he that is above all, and he's above all. Amen. He is above all, so he made you and I, Colossians 1 tells us, by him, for him, through him. You were made to worship him, so when we are not doing what we are created for, which is in our best interest, amen, it would be sinful for God not to be jealous of you. If my son came here with me and didn't want anything to do with me or you, I'd be jealous for his time. If my wife was chasing another man, I'd be jealous for our relationship. God looks at you and says, I'm jealous of you. Do you see the heads of protection written in the commands of God? You should be feeling spoiled today hearing about Jesus Christ. Amen. He says, I am jealous for you, but I punish the children for the sins of their parents to the third and the fourth generation. Listen, we miss this. Of those who hate me, but showing to 1,000 generations of those who love me. We sometimes can misinterpret this verse. If I sin today, is my son going to break his arm skating tomorrow? If you say something foolish, is your kid going to fall off the curb today? No. What God is saying is if we don't train up our children in the way that they should go, they will hate God. When I go down to the city streets in Huntington Beach and we evangelize, since the election and people are mad at God and religion, they want to talk about God. They want to cuss about God. I'm not getting married just because the Bible says so. I'll abort all the children I want. I couldn't care less about your God. When you're not raised hearing the truth, this is what is going to happen. And this is what has happened in Egypt. All kinds of crudeness and filth and adulterous thoughts, life of sacrificing children. I never understood this verse here in verse 7 until I became a believer. But he says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord, for the name of the Lord shall not be used in what? Vain. What does it mean to blaspheme God? All my years growing up, 24 years, 15 of them in England, the rest in America, I never heard someone blaspheme Buddha. I never heard someone blaspheme Satan. I never heard someone blaspheme Vishnu or the god Kali or Muhammad. I never heard of that, but you know what I heard blasphemed every single day of my life? Jesus Christ. blaspheming everyone else doesn't do anything, but when you and I live in a way where we lower the standard of God, we lower the reverence for the text, we lower the power of the Holy Spirit, when we go back into work to reverence God, it doesn't mean anything. You say Muhammad today and you're afraid, is someone going to die? People going to get crazy? What's going to happen? You say the name of Jesus, it becomes a joke. He's Talladega Nights baby Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Remember seeing a guy years ago holding a sign at the side of the road, and he said, when Jesus comes back, kill him again. And I began to laugh and say, is this guy for real? I wish I could have been there and said, sir, I know you view him as a child and as the Lamb of God, but when he comes back, he is coming back as a lion. Amen. When he comes back, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and said, there's grace and mercy for you today. But you got to realize this. The earth was baptized once in Noah's day, baptism, and they hid in the gopher tree in the cross. It'll be baptized again by fire when God cleanses the earth and the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem arrive. Amen. That man does not want to be holding the sign when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords returns. And I wish I could have seen that guy and embraced him and loved him and said, wherever you're mad at, God has got you covered. God has got you covered. He goes on, what does he say? Remember the Sabbath day. Why does this matter? Why does it matter to remember the Sabbath? Haven't we entered into Christ? I'll tell you what, your faith is more expressed in the Sabbath than you might realize. We've been called to rest. In this culture, I've said it many times, of money that does not sleep. In this culture of gaining everything. In this culture of going after this and going after that, like I said, for the sake of a portfolio. A lot of my faith is based around, do I really trust God with what he was providing for me? Am I really content in the way that God is leading me? Because 1 Timothy 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm talking about two kingdoms right here, amen? The nation of Israel has never had a Sabbath. Pharaoh is making you work and work and work and work. And God says, calm down. I want you to take a Sabbath and I want you to rest. Your body needs to rest, your land needs to rest, and they wanted to work. They wanted to connect more quail, you remember that? God shut the whole thing down. God, I can make more money for one extra day. I can get more in shape. I'm not telling you what to do with a Sabbath. We're not under the Sabbath laws. We have now entered rest in Jesus, amen? The Sabbath is the only command that Jesus actually nullifies, and I'll tell you why. Colossians 2:16 says this, don't let anyone judge you by what you wear, what you eat, what you drink, rather, or by entering a celebration of the new moon or the Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is what? We have been found in Christ. I have entered into Christ. And think about this. I might get some pushback, but think about it. How many days did it take God to create everything? He created it all, and he worked hard for 6 days, and he rested on the Sabbath. The Bible says for God, a day for God is like 1,000 years for man. Is it possible that God worked hard for 6,000 years, still alive and at work right now in the midst of us, but he's all said he's already sit and rested in the Sabbath, so we will enter this 1,000-year reign? It doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong. What matters is, do you know Jesus and have you entered his rest? Because while we're here and alive and now, we are called to work in the things of God. Amen. Guys, the first of the four commandments, you know what they are? Put a box around them in your Bible if you need to. The first four are vertical, and they focus on God. And the next six are horizontal, and they focus on everyone else. Verse 12, he says, to me, to you, Brian, church, honor your father and your mother, so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Does this simply mean if you're not good to your dad or your mom that God chimes away seconds on a chopping block? No. What it means is Israel have been sent to the promised land. If the next generation gets drunk and parties, couldn't care less about the parents, I don't think anyone is making it to the promised land. Amen? What it means is raise up a child in the way they will go. So they will raise up a child in the way they will go. They will raise up a child in the way they'll go. And through that, you and I are sitting here today. Amen? Some of you are here because of the prayers that were prayed 2,000 years ago. Some of your great-great-great-grandkids will come to faith because you will raise them up in the way they should go. This is not something they were doing. Do you get how powerful these commands are? I'm out of wind. I'm so excited about it. Thank you, Jesus, for this work, for the things that you are saying. Because for me, I'll be honest, we're in church, amen? I didn't like school. Why did I finish school? Why did I do well before I went off to America? Because I wanted to honor my parents. Why do I wake up today and say, God, I'm going to get up early, yes, to spend time with you, but I'm tired. I've had a great weekend, but my flesh is weak. Because I want to honor pastor and the team. I know I want to honor my dad back in England. I know I want to honor my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This idea of honoring the chain of command will bless you because things will get done. Verse 13 seems so obvious. Thou shalt not murder. Well, everyone knows that. Well, they didn't know that. Cain and Abel, they didn't know that. Am I my brother's keeper? Have you ever thought about that? Did he actually know? Maybe he didn't know. I just killed this dude and like, I didn't know, God. I don't know. I think he knew. But I know that the Bible says, thou shalt not murder. That doesn't mean don't defend yourself. It doesn't mean not kill. The word is actually different in times of war. And I'm a guy who's opposed to it all. Amen. I'm excited to enter his rest one day in the peace of heaven and see no more death. But while we live here, what is he saying? That we shall not murder. Back in the day in Corinth, if you gave birth to a daughter, she couldn't work the land. You could just roll her down the hillside. It's murder. Back in the day, if someone likes your wife, they could just take her from you, kill you, hide you in the bushes. How are they going to find you? No one has an iPhone thousands of years ago with a GPS on it. You're done. God is saying, no, this is different. If you live where I am, where the freeways are crazy in LA, a lot of people would die every day just based on how angry everyone is. Amen? God is saying, do not murder. And we could unpack this. Verse 14, again, we say, this is so obvious, Pastor. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I don't think people understand the depth of this today. What is the greatest covenant in all of eternity? It's when God took a dead man called Brian, a dead person, whoever you are, dead, cannot see, forgave you grace and mercy, all sins forgiven, his blood is applied, something supernatural happened, you rose up like Lazarus, amen? The greatest thing after that, listen to me, marriage is not a document that you sign or a place that you stand before a bunch of people spending thousands of dollars and say, I guess I do. Marriage supernaturally is when God takes a man and a woman and clefts them together. I am one with my wife. She took my last name. If you were virgins when you married, there will be a shedding of blood. It is a covenant. We wear the ring signifying eternity. But from adultery, what happens? There was lying, there was lusting, there was cheating, there was deception. It's crazy. It's ripping and tearing. Can you think of anything else that should be more for the marriage, yes or no? I have a book in the back called Marriage Never Fails for this reason. I can work my body out. I can have a preaching ministry. I can teach my kids and train them up in the way they go. But if I have an affair, where I live might change, who I love might change, where I end up might change. This is so radical, but I want to say this. If you read that book, there are three couples in that book that went through affairs, and they are all doing better than before. Amen. God is a God of forgiveness, and there's no greater forgiveness than telling someone that's treated you this way, I am choosing to forgive you. I am choosing to repent. Amen. Affairs are everywhere. Guys, this is a flirty culture. Well, she's pretty. He's attractive. They're being nice. It's a part of my job. No. And I'm thankful that Pastor would say, Brian, go wherever you need to go, and I would tell you, if you need to read about this, Monday to Friday, you want to do a study, read Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, and you will realize real quick why you do not want to have an affair. Amen? This is the Bible. It says we're not to step in here and do this. Next verse, 15. Thou shalt not steal. There's so much depth to this verse, it blows your mind. Why are you telling me not to steal? Not only is it wrong, but God is proclaiming to me that he is jealous to meet and supply all of my needs. When I steal, I am not trusting God. When I say I need what they have, I need what that have, God says, who are you following? Don't you believe that I'm going to give you exactly what you need? There's things that you don't need. And now you're going to steal and you're going to deceive and you're going to deceive. God says, no. When we go and steal, we are not trusting in the Lord. The Bible says the worker is worthy of his wages. Work. Work hard by the sweat of your brow, 6 days of your life. God is making a promise to you as if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. And guys, if you were going through a season, that's not what I'm saying to you. I'm saying be diligent. Look for that job. Do what you do. Because what happens is, if I give birth to it, I have to feed it. If I give birth to that car, and we're going to add on to the church, and we're going to do this and do this and do this for my needs, we've got to feed it. And God says, I don't need you to have that. I need you to trust me in not stealing. And likewise, why do I not play the lottery? Because if God needs me to have $240 million, someone is going to write a check for $200 million. I don't need that check right now. Amen? I don't know what I'd be doing if I had that kind of money. It would be terrible for me. Be terrible for me. He says in Philippians 4:19, and you know this, my God will meet. He gives you exactly what you need every day. And Satan says, boy, do you need so much more? Be quiet, demon. Be quiet, serpent. He'll meet all your needs according to his riches, his glory. It's all his anyway. Seek first the kingdom and what? Then these things will be added to you. You shall not give false testimony. Someone said once of America that if God doesn't judge America soon, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. Can you think of how crazy our nation is? Do we even know what is true anymore? Thou shalt not bear false witness. The guy this past week, I'm not a political guy, but Kavanaugh, do we know what this guy even did? This whole presidency, we have a generation who says, as long as I'm angry and as long as I'm mad, I can tell you what to do. It doesn't matter what you think. This is false testimony. I don't know what the guy did. It doesn't matter to me. I'm praying for them all. Lord, bless them, lead them to repentance. But bearing false testimony can become a mindset, an agenda, a way to manipulate. The idea of a white lie is so dangerous because if you're raised in the church, you go, we all struggle with sin. Listen, guys, this took me a while to understand. I trust everyone, but I trust them as far as knowing they will let me down. Amen? I trust you with the work of the Lord in your life. You hang out with me for too long, you will get frustrated. You will get annoyed. Am I going to say something? Forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be that guy. But I trust everyone with the work the Lord is doing in them. And I feel like some of you need to hear that to release that person that you can't forgive today. Amen? God has said it is finished. It is done. You need to release them as well. He says, do not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, his male or female servant. And this is going to be a big one out here. His ox, his donkey, or his moose. Amen? I just added that in, Lord. Don't strike me down. See this grace right here for me. I was getting too serious, so we needed to relax for just a moment. His ox, his donkey, and all that belongs to your neighbor. How do I even preach this in Orange County? There are envelopes coming through my door tomorrow with new cars, new restaurants, new places to work out. Covet, 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 covet. If I am sitting up here right now, passing out flavors of food, showing you in and out, you're going to begin to think about going down to California, especially Paul and his wife, amen? They have a love affair with In-N-Out, I believe, as we should. That may well have been the manna in heaven. But the reality is he's telling us not to covet these things. Why? Because this command really reveals what is in me. First four to God, the rest are to other people, but this is to me. Who am I looking at that I shouldn't be? What am I considering that I don't need to? This is the New Testament wrapped in one verse. And so Moses is there and he shares with all the people and they say, well, why are we going to listen to this guy? Why are we going to listen to this fool who's a shepherd who killed a man 40 years earlier? It tells us in verse 18, when the people saw the thunder and lightning, heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. And they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us, for we will die. God is affirming these presences. These promises, these truths, with thunder, lightning, and a terrifying scene meant to stop them in their tracks. Praise God, the worst they might have ever seen of God is this time right here, and not an eternity separated from him. People ask me all the time, well, why should I believe in God? Because we're destined to a place set apart from him in eternity that the Bible refers to as hell. It's not should I choose God, it's have you sinned? And if you're such a good person, why are you going to die then? Doesn't make any sense. You might do good deeds, but it's appointed man to die once and then judgment. God is saying this and making the noise. And who is Moses in this picture? Moses is Jesus in this picture. He's a foreshadow. Moses is going up the mountain to God to bring down the news, but God sent his son Jesus to come down from the mountain on high to bring the grace and mercy to you and me. Amen. The Bible says there's no mediator between man and God, but who? Christ Jesus. Mary does not mediate. She died just like you and I. She sinned in her life. Jesus died for his own mother. Thank you, Lord. It's all these different people. It isn't Joseph Smith. It isn't the Pope. He alone is Jesus. And Moses tells them, verse 20, Do not be afraid, for God has come to test you. He has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. When I first heard about fearing God, I said, why would God want me to fear him? He wants me to be in awe of him. Amen. If my kid goes running in the road, do you know who's going to grab a hold of him first, risking my own life diving under that car? Me. But when I rescue him in love, he might get a spank saying, son, this is not where you need to be. This is not what I have for you. Isaiah is a prophet of the Lord. He hears of God all the time. And what does he do? He stands in the presence of God one day, and the Bible says the train of the robe filled the room. Just seeing God's robe, he fell down and said, woe is me, because he understands who we are to God. Amen. And right away, God said, who will go? And Isaiah, out of reverence and fear and awe, said, I will go. Send me. When you understand the fear of God and this hedge of protection is there for you, he has put this in place to lead you. And out of fear for him, when I say things to my son, even to my wife, babe, you better consider what you are doing. Even what she'll say to me at times, this is a voice that I need to honor and I need to listen to understand and fear. There's so many things to consider about the Lord. In closing, we okay on time? Closing in a few thoughts, here's the idea. The first is the law of God, and the Ten Commandments, by the way, are referred to as the law. The law shows us that none of us can keep the law. The Bible says every one of us has sinned, every one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. How do you keep the law? By being holy. We're so eager to take this bite out of Christianity. Why? Because we want to encourage people and be loving with people, and that's true. But I was encouraged for 7 months, but it was when I heard about sin that I realized I need forgiveness. If someone in here is sick, you know what you're thinking about? The medicine. You want the medicine, and someone that has it will lovingly give it to you. In fact, it's so valuable today, they're making billions of dollars off medicine, amen? Probably by diseases that they are maybe even causing. But God says to you, I need to let you know that you're in a state of sin because I have someone that's going to come in my name, the name of Jesus, and he's going to die and this is going to be a free gift. Second thing about the law, it tells us that God must judge. God is a good judge and he has to judge righteously. James 2:10, I've been saying it all week. Anyone who has broken the law in any one place is guilty of it all. Well, Pastor, I'm good enough. Have you told a lie? Have you lusted? Have you just not lived for God? If I have lied once, I am now a liar. I am guilty. The Bible says it's appointed a man to die once, and then we're judged. And this is the scene. There's two kinds of people in this room. You will either stand before God, or you will enter the presence of Jesus. There's a great white throne, and God opens the book. Is your name written in the book? And if your name is written, you were already guilty. How can you say that? Only God can judge me. Friends, John 3:18, we rarely hear this verse. It says the world is already condemned. I think about this picture all the time when sharing on the street. If my son, my 8-year-old son, or if he was 4 at the time, is in the road and an 18-wheeler was coming down the street and you were all behind me, you'd say, Brian, what are you going to do? What would I do? I would dart into the road, shove Jude Micah out the way. That truck would run me over and you would hopefully show up to my funeral. Amen. And say, that guy really loved that kid. Well, guys, death is approaching, and we're in the road, and death is coming, and Jesus runs out the way, and he pushes me, and he pushes Pastor, and he pushes Martin in the band, and he pushes you, and Jesus takes the full weight of our sin on his head, and he stands up again and says, guys, it is finished. Give it up for Jesus, amen. The third thing is the law shows us that God himself had to intervene. We cannot do it. We cannot stop the truck. The Bible says, cursed is the man who hangs up on a tree. And Jesus is the only one never meant to be on that tree. But he went there for you and I. Listen to this verse in Galatians 3:23, and you will never see it the same again. It says, before coming to this faith, you and I, we were held in custody under the law. We're guilty. We were locked up until faith that was to come would be revealed. Verse 24. So the law was our guardian, our hedge, our protector, that pointed to needing to be saved. Look at it. So the law was our guardian until Christ Jesus came that we might be what? Justified by faith. You don't have to sacrifice any animals. You haven't got to go to a temple. You haven't got to keep 613 religious commands that found their way into the beliefs of the Hebrews at the time. All you need to do is believe in the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said something radical when he came. He said, I did not come to do away with the law, but I came to what? Fulfill it. Jesus, when did you fulfill this? Well, there's a mountain that they climbed up, the mountain of the Transfiguration. Jesus went up the mountain. There was two men with him. There was Moses and Elijah, Peter, James, and John. Moses represents the law, and Elijah represents the prophets. Read the text. Jesus showed up there. Here's Jesus, and he's glowing. His face is shining. And Moses is there. Here's the law. And here's Elijah, the prophets. And none of them spoke, and God says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. The law and the prophets are pointing to who? Jesus. Jesus went out and they said to him, trying to trap him, what is the greatest commandment? You know what he said? Love the Lord your God with all your, finish it with me, heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as your. Well, Pastor, why couldn't he have just given us two commandments? Amen? He did. He did. Loving the Lord your God with your heart, soul, and mind is the first four. And loving your neighbor as yourself is the final six. Hallelujah. You don't need to keep the Ten Commandments. Your call today is embrace God and live out of the Ten Commandments, following him and fishing for men. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Love the Lord your God with everything is following him. Martin said, in and out, guys, it's called the Great Commission. Jesus lived and died, resurrected. All authority's been given to me. What should we do, Jesus? Go. All the Bible is the story of in and out. Creative people going into the world. And the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Guys, I want to finish with this thought, as the gentleman on the keyboard is going to come play with us right now. There's two kinds of people in this room. There's people who don't know Jesus and the law of God is on you. And you say, I don't want to hear this. It sounds so judgmental. Guys, do we know what we're like? Do we know what's inside of us? We want this sermon to end. We want this guy to stop preaching. I don't want to hear any more songs about God. I want life to be about me. That's called sin. Either you're dead in sin, and thankfully God is speaking through a funny sounding English guy and a funny sounding English band here in Canada, because his grace and mercy is upon you. Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Who are the all? He said, my sheep will hear my voice. Church, do you hear him? Have you been attending but you don't know Jesus? Have you felt backslidden? Are the things you need to lay in an altar today? There's an old song by a band called Love Song, and they sing, many know him well, but others just by name. I heard about Jesus, but I didn't know him. I never laid my head up on his chest. I was never forgiven. I never realized what the cross meant. I want to close us in prayer in a moment, praying for two kinds of people. Those who don't know Jesus, and maybe you just feel distant. You say, Lord, I need more than you. Maybe you're someone that says, wow, I need to love others like you've loved me. I need to forgive and let go. And also, you may be someone that just needs prayer today. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Jesus says, when I'm lifted up, I'll draw men to myself. Are you hearing his voice? Isaiah the prophet says, the word of God goes out and does not return void. You've done nothing greater than what Jesus did on the cross for you. Nothing is more mighty than the love of God and the blood that was shed. While you are yet still sinners, Christ died for us. I want to ask you, do you need to get right with God today? Is God's law pointing you to a Savior? If that's you on the name of three, I want you to be bold and say, that's me. On the count of three, will you raise up your hand if you want to cry out to God? One, two, three. Hallelujah. I want to challenge us right now. Church, will we stand for a moment? 20, 30 people raise their hands in this place. Can we give it up to the Lord? Guys, if you raise your hand right now, the same way I'm down here being crazy and shouting about Jesus, if you raise your hand, would you come down to the front? We want to pray for you. If you raise your hand, come on, stand for him here or you won't stand for him in the world. Let's parade for Jesus. If you raise your hand, church, say to the person next to you, do you need me to go down with you? All we're going to do is pray to God. All we're going to do is proclaim his truth. The Bible says all of heaven rejoices over one sinner. God is looking at you. Anyone needs to come down? Let's stand in the front, you guys. If you're in here too and you say, God, I just need more of you. I need some prayer. I'm going through hell. I understand that's what this conference has been about, hope in Christ. If you need prayer for anything else, would you find your way down here too, aside to these men and women? But guys, I'm going to lead us in prayer as people come down. Listen, God is in heaven. Jesus is beside him, interceding for you, the Bible tells us. But the Holy Spirit is in our midst. I cried, God, save me, forgive me, and that's who we're going to pray to. I'm going to ask the Christians to pray along, but if you've heard the voice of God today, and today's day to get right with God, confess alongside with me. Let's speak out loud, church. Let's say, Lord Jesus, we acknowledge your life, your death, and your resurrection. You live for me, you died for me, and you know every sin, the sins I have no idea I've committed, and the sins I'm afraid to tell anyone. And God, here in this place today, I bring it all to you. And I lay it at this cross. I repent, and I ask you to help me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give it up for the Lord, church. Guys, I know we're close on time, but there's some people that want to pray for you for just a second. I'm going to pray over the rest of us, extend our hands. God, I pray over your people right now. Where there's sickness, where there's healing, where there's struggles in their marriage. Holy Spirit, you know where they are. And as an act of faith, do you see us, Lord, lifting our hands? Do you see us praising you? It's by your name and because of your stripes that we can be healed. God, I speak victory and life for marriages, for struggles, for addictions, for bondages and yokes. Lord, lead us. Help us with these commands to live them out of love and not fear, because God, you are good. You're not just God, you are our heavenly Father and Lord. Take my hand, representing the hands of this church and the leadership, the family of God, and lead us, Abba, Daddy, like only you can. Guys, I understand the band has got to leave, and if you're down here and need prayer, there'll be people to pray for you. But I want to thank you for this day. Let's end in a time of praise and worship and give it up for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, there'll be people down here. Well, let's just praise him as we leave. Thank you, God.